All right. Today we are joined by former NFL linebacker Lofa Tupuolofa. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, appreciate you having me, fellas.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we'll get right into it. So first thing I want to talk to you about, which I'm sure is something not a lot of people know about you, when I was doing some research, so you played quarterback in high school. So I just wanted to ask you, what was your experience like playing quarterback? Of course, you know, we trained a lot of quarterbacks, we work with a lot of quarterbacks. So I was just wondering what your experience was like at the position.
Yeah, you know, I tried to play quarterback. I don't know how good I was at it, which is why, you know, I ended up playing linebacker in college. But interesting enough, my only three Division I scholarship offers were to play quarterback. I had a good arm, strong arm, accurate, but I didn't see many, 5'11", 6-foot quarterbacks in the NFL. So I opted for defense going to college. But it was fun. I learned a lot more about the game, and it helped me out defensively in terms of knowing what areas or zones the quarterback is trying to target when he's going through his progressions. So as a middle linebacker, I believe I attribute a lot of my interceptions because of knowing what the quarterback has to do or what he wants to do with the ball, given the defense.
Right, right. That makes sense.
Yeah, so how was your transition from Maine to USC? I feel like, you know, it's literally the opposite sides of the countries. Obviously, it gets cold up there in Maine, but in USC, it's probably warm a lot. So how was, like, the adjustment from going to Maine to USC?
Yeah, I mean, from a climate right there, you hit it on the head. It was a little nicer, but I grew up in Massachusetts, so I like the cold. You know, I like playing in the cold. I always had my best games in the cold because, I sweat a lot. So when I was going out there, it was like an adjustment, literally trying to, get acclimated to the weather. In terms of competition, it's there's phenomenal athletes, Division I, II, III, all across the board. You'll see guys make it to the next level, to the NFL. But what I noticed the biggest difference was all of the offensive linemen and defensive linemen were huge and they were athletic. I mean, it was that was what stood out the most, that, you know, we're in 1AA, you'd face maybe one or two colleges in the playoffs that had a couple 300-pounders. When I got to SC, everybody was over 300 pounds and they could all move, you know, like they were firing off the ball. They're all great athletes in space. So that was the biggest difference I saw in terms of, skill.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the higher level you get, you know, the harder competition you have to face. So definitely makes sense.
For sure.
So what was it like winning a Natty Championship your senior year? Definitely a good way to go out.
Yeah, was incredibly blessed to be on some talented teams there at USC. As everybody knows, you know, Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, even the year I was redshirting, Carson Palmer, I got to play with three Heisman Trophy winners. And, I don't know how many people can say they did that other than my teammates that were there that can say they did that. So that's special. But, we worked hard on defense and we were always up there in terms of top of the rankings. And it was just an incredible journey. In the 2 years, we went 25-1. And the one loss was in triple overtime at Cal to a guy by the name of Aaron Rodgers. So I know you guys like quarterbacks. This is a pretty good one right there. I look back and, just how much fun it was. You know, everyone, that stands out. Everybody sees that. But what they don't understand is the sacrifice. The morning workouts, the grueling practices. I mean, you think try to stop Lendale White from running the ball and then try to cover Reggie Bush, when he's running routes. So, but iron sharpens iron. And I believe that's what helped me, perfect my craft and get better, all my weaknesses. It helped me really shore up my game and become well-rounded.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you just talked a little bit about the sacrifice and things like that. Was there any guys early on in your career that really kind of took you under their wing and kind of mentored you, and then yourself later on in your career? Did you find yourself kind of being that mentor for younger guys?
Yeah. I was always blessed with a lot of incredibly strong leaders that I got to learn from. Even dating back to Maine, several of my guys, Malik Nichols, you know, a senior linebacker, Stephen Cooper, a guy who played in the league for 8 years with the Chargers. He was a beast. We had no shortage of leaders there, as well as SC. You got guys like Carson, Troy Polamalu. The year I was sitting out, I got to study everything he did. Mm-hmm. And in terms of well-rounded game, there was nothing that guy couldn't do. Coverage, blitzing, run fits, you know, so watching him and the way he broke down the game was incredible. I mean, we're talking about a Hall of Famer, one of the best to ever play at safety. And then in the linebacker room, you know, guys like Mike Pollard, Champ Simmons, you know, Matt Grudegood, there were several guys that helped teach me the game. And because coming from the East Coast, you know, it's not just, you know, learning your surroundings and now you're in LA, but it's also, you know, how they go about business. And because they had started to turn that program around and had just went to an Orange Bowl, 11-2, Carson and Troy's last year. So it was a tight team. Most championship teams, that's what you hear. It was family, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, now after you obviously you won your national championship your senior year. After that, you know, you became a second round pick of the Seahawks. So, what was your initial thoughts that you know the Seahawks believed in you, and you know they wanted to pick you up in the second round. So, what was your reaction to that?
Yeah, I left after my junior year against everybody's advice. They, it was, you know, all the draft pundits and experts were saying, oh, this guy's making a mistake. He's too small, too slow. He's not going to get drafted until the fifth or sixth round. But, I left because I had the confidence that I could play at the next level, and I knew I could. And when I realized Seattle really wanted me was – they traded up 2 fourth-round picks to swap out a second-rounder with, I think it was Carolina, and get me at the 45th spot. And, you know, that meant the world to me that they, you know, they cared enough and they went up and got me, as opposed to I was hearing a lot of other teams saying, oh, well, if he falls to us in the third round, you know, we'll definitely take him then. So, you know, that's why everything I did, man, was just to try to, you know, repay them for taking that leap of faith and taking a kid that was deemed too small and too slow.
Exactly. That's awesome. Now, what was it like having the opportunity to play with Matt Hasselbeck? Now, he was one of my favorite players growing up. So, of course, your dad and Matt Hasselbeck's dad played together. So, what was that? That must have been pretty cool for you to be able to have the opportunity to play with him, especially from both of you being from Mass and everything, too.
Yeah, the whole Hasselbeck family, you know, tremendous athletes, and they were great friends of ours growing up. I competed against the youngest, Nathaniel, actually, all growing up, and he was a phenomenal athlete. But getting to play with Matt and, you know, just the Tri-Town where we grew up, Tri-Town, Massachusetts, man, there's a lot of, you know, pride and respect that you know, goes from – for anybody, from where they're – you know, they love their hometown. And so, you know – We take that very seriously, and that was awesome to you know have two captains from the Tri-Town on an NFL roster. I don't, you know, has that happened anywhere else where, you know, two guys from the same hometown or neighboring towns went on to be captains? I don't know. We have to look that stat up. But you heard a lot about, you know, Hass, you know, and then what he did at BC and then going on to the NFL, and you were always proud to be from the same area. So it meant the world to me to get to go to battle with you know, my guy Hass.
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, you played for the Seahawks for 5 seasons. So what was your experience like being a part of that organization?
Oh, it's an incredible organization. I think the thing they don't get enough credit for is all the charitable and the work in the community that they do. And that's what stands out the most. And that was, you know, from the top, from Paul Allen, the late, great Paul Allen. He did so much for, you know, saving football in Seattle by keeping the team here. But he did so much more than that, you know, I would like everybody to, you know, remember when they talk about the great Paul Allen is how much he meant to this, you know, not just Seattle, the city, but, you know, the state of Washington and everywhere where he, you know, he left his fingerprint in terms of hard work, you know, and dedication to community.
Right. Right. Absolutely. So now what'd you love most about playing the sport? Was it just the kind of the bonds you make with the guys, just the feeling of being in games? What did you love the most?
I love competition the most. And, you know, just like I said, I was never blessed to be the biggest, strongest, fastest. So you got to be one of the toughest, or, you know, you got to have, you know, a lot of confidence going into battle, knowing that, you know, you're lacking in many areas. And I think that, you know, the test of your will and how far you're willing to go, and it was what I love the most when I talk about competition, knowing that everything on paper says I shouldn't win this match, this one-on-one against this guy. But we're going to see the one thing you can't test, you can't judge, is, you know, heart. We're going to see who has it here and who's willing to go the farthest, you know, to win this battle, to win this game. And on top of that, the other things that drove me was being part of something bigger than yourself, being part of a team. I think, and that's why you always hear when guys walk away from the game, the thing they miss the most, you know, of course, game day, you're going to miss that, but they miss the locker room. They miss all the laughs, all the camaraderie, and, you know, going through all those hard times and those struggles together, you know, as one. And so the two things I would say, competition and just finding out what you're really made of. And then, of course, you know, my teammates, man, those are my brothers.
Right, right. Absolutely.
Yeah, so obviously with Pete Carroll, you know, being one of the greater coaches we've seen recently, what do you think, like, makes him the coach he is? Or are there any, like, outstanding qualities, both as a coach and a person, that you see in Pete?
I think Pete's best quality is his ability to motivate from a positive perspective. You know, doesn't matter what happens. And I'm telling you, man, whether I was in college or in the NFL with him, didn't matter what happened. You know, turned the ball over 4 or 5 times. You know, he always believed, as we all did, that we were going to change the game that next play with the next opportunity we got. And that belief is what builds championship teams. You know, I know with Mike Holmgren winning the division several times, and then also Pete, you know, winning the division and then watching him go on to have success. His teams, they believe that they're going to get the job done, that they're going to win. And that's what separates the good from the great teams coming down the stretch. As you see, we'll see in this playoff push for a lot of teams, the ones that don't beat themselves and the ones that just believe that they're going to win. I don't know how many close games you got to see from, hopefully it doesn't happen tonight, right? Because they play Monday Night Football. But, you know, it seems like prime time, they're always coming down to the last series. But the majority of the time, Pete's teams are pulling it off. I mean, it helps when you got, you know, guys like Russell Wilson, KJ Wright, and Bobby Wagner. But that message and that belief has to be there, or else it doesn't matter.
And that's where I feel like him and Russell Wilson are such a good combo. I feel like Russell Wilson kind of share those same kind of beliefs. Like he always believes himself, being an undersized quarterback his whole life. And that's why I just feel like I love that combo between the two.
Absolutely. It's translated right down from, you know, the coach to the players, and it resonates throughout. And I haven't been around too many leaders like Russ, just that belief. Like, I'm talking, you look at the Green Bay NFC Championship game where he threw 4 picks. I mean, he had one of the worst games of his life. And in overtime, he made just enough plays to come back and you know, force overtime. And as soon as he saw his shot, he took it. And he completed a 60-yard bomb to Jermaine Kearse. And, you know, the rest is history. And that's just – and when you do it over and over – you know, it becomes routine, and that's where that confidence is built, on top of how hard they prepare week in and week out. But that confidence starts to build, and that's a scary thing, especially with what, towards the end of the seasons and years, been last decade, Pete's teams have always played their best end of November going into December and then right into the playoffs. So it's going to be exciting to watch.
Is there anything else about Russell Wilson that, you know, is just completely different than anything else you've seen in any other quarterbacks you've been around?
I mean, I've seen him play through so many injuries. You know, I've seen Haas play through injuries. It's you can't phase the guy. I mean, and if that Green Bay game isn't enough, I've seen him take some vicious hits. One where he had a grade two strain. And I'm telling you, as a guy who tore both pecs playing football, you go to grade three, grade four is completely off the bone. So, which I did. And, you know, I don't know how he was throwing the ball the way he was. And I believe that was 2015, my first year on the staff coaching. And he had a streak of, it was like 28 touchdowns and two or three interceptions. You remember that streak? Yep. It was incredible. And he also had a grade two MCL sprain on his left knee, on his plant knee. So, I mean, I don't know. The guy never ceases to amaze me. And I'm glad he's finally getting the respect that he deserves. You know, everyone's always appreciated his game. But I think now, as he doesn't have a top rushing game, as he doesn't have a top defense anymore, I think they're starting to understand what he really means to this team. Mm-hmm. And what he's meant all along. But it's just tough when you got Marshawn Lynch and the Legion of Boom in that defense for the first 5 or 6 years, right? You know, it's like, I mean, that team was incredible. So now they're relying on a little more, and he's showing up.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. No, I definitely had to ask a couple questions about him. He's my favorite quarterback. I wore number three for him and everything. So
awesome.
Yeah, so moving more into a advice kind of section, if you could give any piece of advice to your younger self, what would it be?
That's a good one. Don't be so hard on yourself. What? I don't know. That kind of led to my work ethic and why, you know, I be more open-minded. I'll say that. And not that I had an unwillingness to learn more, because I was in the film. I was a film junkie, man. I was in there all the time. But I'm talking in terms of technique-wise. There were some areas that I would have liked to have, you know, gotten a little better at, and you know, just asked more questions. I think that's the biggest thing, and not just from my defensive coaches, but offensive guys. I mean, you have all these guys that you're trying to beat. And I know, you know, when you go into practice, they don't want to give you the tips, but they're there for advice too. They're your brothers. They're going to help you beat the competition when you go to game day. So I wish I asked, you know, offensive line more about hand placements in terms of pass rushing. I wish I asked quarterbacks, you know, because yeah, I had to run cover two, that middle paint on, you know, how likely are you to take a shot if you know the guy's in position? Because then I could have throttled down and made a couple plays on the shorter routes. So my advice would be just never stop asking, never stop, you know, learning and trying to get better. I feel like I always did, but there's a lot of times where, you know, you're afraid of being wrong, right? Or looking stupid if you ask a question. It's like, there's no such thing as a stupid question. But if you sit there without the answers, you're going to look stupid on some situations in game day. So that's, you know, just always be inquisitive and keep asking questions. Keep getting better.
Right. Yeah. I really like that answer. I'm a college coach now. So that's something I notice with a lot of guys, especially the younger guys, they don't ask enough questions. And
right.
When, you know, while we're in meetings, while we're going over stuff, then we go out into the field and that's when they're lost.
And then they want to ask the questions like, no, man, like if you had the answer, you wouldn't have thrown that ball. You know, I know I've been there, you know, from both sides, even as a coach, but also, you know, as a player too. Cause I mean, that's, you know, you don't want to look dumb in front of your peers, but you know, looking back, like, yo, who cares? I want to get better. And the best, that's what they do. So yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. Definitely utilizing your resources, you know, as much as you can, is definitely a huge thing when it comes to improving as an athlete.
No doubt.
So do you have any recruiting tips, like, especially now with, like, you know, a lot of players' seasons aren't even going on, and if they are, it's, like, delayed in some way.
So for the kid?
What'd you say?
For the kid? Any recruiting tips for the kid?
Yeah, for, like, high schoolers and, like.
Yeah, and I this comes from personal experience is, you know, you better have a plan. It's unfortunate that you're not going to get to play your senior season. That's the case out here for a lot of these kids. So, and this personally, you know, having very few options coming out of high school, you know, I started to develop a plan and I said, hey, look, I don't care if I have to go to junior college. You know, prep school was, you know, couldn't afford it. So that wasn't an option. So it was really coming down to junior college to get more exposure. So I was going to travel out to California or Texas because that's where the powerhouses are. It's not to say you have to do that, but a lot of my friends that play with me at SC, they went to junior college and they had their pick. I mean, they ended up going to SC and winning national championships. So they had their pick of any school they wanted to go to. But definitely send your tape out. There's so many ways, like Huddle and all, you know, YouTube. I saw a kid in basketball put his highlights on Twitter and got an offer from a school. So there's so many avenues these days. Back then we had the VHS tape. You guys are too young to know what that is. not even a CD, or, you know, it was a tape, and they don't even sell those anymore. But I had to record all mine and then send them out to schools. And you're lucky if that gets in front of, you know, someone that makes decisions. But regardless, just have a plan. And so my plan, after I looked at all the schools, the three schools that wanted me to play quarterback, Maine that wanted me to play linebacker, and then, you know, JUCO, I felt that Maine was the best option for me because they had some great linebackers and they had a knack for developing linebackers, which is really why I believe I was able to even get a look at Southern California. And, you know, so just like I said, have a plan. And if you're one of the kids that's blessed to have all these options, look at the coach. Like if we're talking quarterbacks, you know, take a look at how that system has developed quarterbacks, or if it's O-linemen, or, if, you know, and that's going to, you know, have they sent guys onto the next level, or have they at least, you know, gotten them much better from start to finish? Those are the things that, you know, I was taking into consideration back 20 plus years ago. And, you know, so, you know, and I just wish I had more of an avenue to get my film out as these kids do now. So my main advice, I know it was long-winded, but have a plan. And you know, and because once you have a plan, you know how to go about your business. But if you're just like, oh, I don't know, I'll go here and see what happens, you're not giving yourself the best chance to succeed.
Right. 100%. Totally agree with that. So what are some things that you believe that athletes, especially football players, should focus on for development? Whether that's, you know, during their high school years, and from high school to college as well.
Gaining weight is the most overrated advice. You know, I was told I was too small. You know, I was like maybe 205, 210 my senior year. I was told I was too small, and so put on a bunch of weight. You know, and it wasn't great weight. I mean, I started moving slower. I started, you know, it was just like, man, what did I do to myself? I set myself backwards. So stay fast. Stay fast as long as you can. And it doesn't matter because, you know, force is, you know, that's all that matters. How much force you put into the ground, how much force you put into the opposing player. And that comes through speed, fellas. So if you get bigger, you're just going to be slower if you're not moving that weight properly. So development wise, yeah, I wish I got with a track coach and develop proper mechanics of running. And, you know, that's probably wild for kids to hear, like, well, you played in the NFL 6 years, like you should know how to run at least. I didn't, I still don't. I mean, I'm running a little better than I used to, but, you know, and I'm talking about, you know, just the proper, all of it. So that alone will keep you from a lot of injuries in terms of the knees, the ankles, lower back. If you have a proper foundation there, and you're not going to waste as much energy when you're out there because you're doing it efficiently. So I wish I stayed fast and got with a track coach, didn't put on that weight and got with a track coach to just learn proper mechanics that – when you get tired, you know, in the fourth quarter, if you have great technique, you know, you could focus and just be in the moment on the play. You're not sitting there heel over all tired and with your form going to shit, so to speak. Yeah, technique always wins. So yeah, just those are the, in terms of development phase, because you got time to put on weight and do all the other things that you need to do. You're going to, you're still growing. I wish someone told me that back in the day, but right. But I'm here to tell you now.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I agree with that too. And just definitely the putting on weight part, I've noticed a lot of guys just think that that's all they have to do. And they forget about, like you said, they forget about the speed part and the fundamental areas.
Yeah. And you look nice and big, and the running back is going to run right by you.
Right. And there's too many times they'll focus on how much they can bench and how much weight they're throwing up. Obviously, that's important, the weight room stuff, but you got to have the total package.
Yeah. I mean, we all get – it's the ego, right? We get caught up like, oh, I bench 300, I bench 400. Like, if you're not moving – and this is like something I didn't learn until later in life. It's like, it's better to be moving 225 for a lot of reps and fast than it is to be, you know, moving 400 pounds one time and gassed. Like, so, you know, it's all the things that sometimes you got to learn the hard way, but you know, if you listen to me, don't learn the hard way, you know, just stay fast, stay mobile, stay efficient, you know, in all the moves you do. Because that's what's gonna lead to longevity in this game. And as you mentioned, you know, I had all those injuries because I didn't have a great foundation or base. I was just doing, you know, what I thought was right.
Yeah, for sure. So you know, you've been around the Seahawks for a little. You were obviously you played there and then went on to coach there. So I was just curious, you know, where do you see the Seahawks season ending up this year? Where do you see this team going?
It looks like they're shoring up that defense. You know, we made some trades and, you know, getting that pass rush with Carlos Dunlap, who's been an incredible addition. Jamal Adams is healthy again. And I mean, that guy is a monster out there. I think he's only been healthy for like 3.5 games and he's got 5.5 sacks from the safety position. And the secondary, Shaq Griffin's coming back tonight. So excited about that. And on offense, you know, Russ is getting some help in that backfield with Carson and Hyde being healthy again. So now, you know, play action is going to actually hold the linebackers and the second level defenders. They have to respect it. Whereas in the first, you know, a couple of weeks ago, a month, that tough month stretch we had, where we had to count on the rookies who did a great job. They're just, if I'm a veteran linebacker, I'm not biting on that play action. You better prove to me that you can run the ball before I can get up there. And so that's why the lanes got a little tighter and maybe some of those interceptions happened. But, you know, they're getting healthy at the right time of the year and they've been playing great ball. Big win last week against Arizona. So I see all three teams out of the four, us, Arizona, and the Rams making the postseason because the expanded field. But if they can somehow get up to that first seed, it's going to be tough with the Saints right now, but they're only a game behind them. If they can somehow get up to that first seed, if they get home field, I feel like that's just, you know, even without the fans, it's the their streak of winning there over the years, over the last decade has been incredible. And, you know, undefeated right now at home. So, yeah, if they get home field, I can see it going to the Super Bowl, the road going through here.
Yeah, let's hope for that for sure.
Yeah, and as you mentioned earlier with a run game, I feel like with DJ Dallas, he was more of like a pass catching back. He didn't really have, you know, that dominant like presence up the middle. So like having him come back tonight is huge.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think DJ is going to be great. He's young. You look at a lot of running back. There's not a lot that come in and they just set the league on fire. There's a couple, you know, like a Dalvin Cook and even Derrick Henry.
James Robinson.
Even James Robinson, yeah, right? But even King Henry now, he was on the bench most of the year with DeMarco Murray, you know, carrying the bulk of the majority of the load there. So running back's a tough position to come in and ball out at, man. Every position is, but you see a lot of big growth from year one to year two with those guys. Look at Alex Collins, who we just got back. He was cut after a year and a half with us, and then he went to Baltimore, and then nine games he rushed for like 980 yards. So, yeah, I mean, it's just you never know, right, when it's finally going to click. And so impressed with what DJ's done. Travis Homer's been a great addition too, both kids from Miami. And but, you know, hopefully we can rely on Carson and Hyde towards the end of the season, because that's been the biggest difference in the playoffs. Carson hasn't been there to play, and we just got Hyde. So, which I was hoping they were going to bring back Beast Mode.
Me too.
I mean, everybody wanted that. So, you know, who knows? Maybe in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. They're saving them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then looking more of a business side of things, what was the inspiration behind you starting your CBD brand?
Oh, yeah. Zone In CBD. Honestly, fellas, I had heard a lot and I had looked for a lot of, you know, natural solutions when I left the game. 10 surgeries, 15 plus concussions. That's a lot to go through mentally, physically, and emotionally in a lifetime, never mind in the span of 8 years. And, you know, I kept hearing more and more about CBD. And just as I started, you know, researching, just reading about it, articles and papers, and then even picking up books, I started my journey and I started journaling. I bought a bunch of products and started, you know, to see, I go, is this real? Everything I'm hearing from an inflammation standpoint, from a neuroprotectant, meaning it can help you cognitively get back and maybe even exceed where you were, you know, before all the concussions. And I'm here to say that, I mean, the reason I started this was because it brought me back to, you know, my best self. In every facet of life, whether it's family life, business life, you know, everything, I just feel more in the moment and not worrying about anything, just reacting, and which is, you know, why we call it Zone In, like the zone. You know, when any my best performance, thinking about, you know, in against Philly back in the day, which is ironic, you know, we're playing Philly tonight. It's just totally immersed in the moment and where you can't miss. And that's where we got the name, is, you know, Zone In. So it's been helping a lot of people. We're coming out with a new product pretty soon here, probably, hopefully by Christmas, but it might be just after New Year, which is an energy mix, and just to help you get more focused and zoned in, so to speak. So hopefully it can replace a lot of those sugary drinks that my kids are addicted to. And and other stuff, right? But after all those surgeries and everything and post football, you know, I gained a bunch of weight, as some guys do. You know, I was probably 50 pounds overweight. I was like 280 pounds, fellas.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, it's, I mean, that's tough on your joints and ligaments and tendons. And I was about 280, and now I'm down to 235. I'm at my playing weight, and I feel better than I did my all pro year, which is, you know, pretty crazy, because I was 26. So, you know, it was like 12 years ago. So I've just been, you know, my new mission in life is just to spread the word about, you know, CBD and full spectrum oil, which has really led me to a life I've never known before, man. And, you know, everybody, they think of me at my peak being those Pro Bowl years, but yeah, I feel so much better than that. So. Right. And so that's, I'm just spreading the message and paying it forward.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And how have you been handling the pandemic, and has there been anything that you picked up during, like any new hobbies or anything like that, maybe more focused towards your business?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, it's allowed me, because it cut off, in terms of business, cut off retail. You know, a lot of people aren't going out and shopping. And so we lost some retail, and we just took our efforts and zoned in on e-commerce and getting people to the website and, you know, informing them more about what it is and what it isn't. And then in terms of other things, I started a Seahawks podcast. I've been doing a lot of, you know, follow. I stay up. I watch the team anyways. And so when I met with one of my friends that I went to college with at Radio Row in the Super Bowl, I did one of his podcasts with his guys, and he's like, you should really look into, you know, doing a podcast. And I was like, I don't know, man. It sounds like a lot of work. As you guys know, it's a lot of work. And luckily, I got a great team. So I just got to show up and just talk football, which, you know, I love football. It. Yeah, I love football.
Yeah, what better job is that, huh?
Yeah, because, I mean, I know how much goes into the editing and, you know, the cutting of, you know, the clips. So doing that and doing a lot of radio, talking about the Hawks as well. And so and then I got two kids, 9 and 6 years old, two boys, you know, and been spending a lot of time with them. I didn't realize how old they got, you know, all in between starting up a business and, you know, coaching.
Right.
But I've been incredibly blessed to spend more time with them and, and be the fourth grade math teacher and kindergarten math teacher. That was my best subject. So that and the gym teacher, those are the two classes I teach here.
What about them? Are they future linebackers or what?
No, my youngest is for sure. My oldest, and see, that's the thing with football, you got to have passion, right? You got to love this game and put everything into it. And if they tell me that they want to try it and they, you know, they really love it, they have to show me that they love it.
Right.
As opposed to just telling me they want to try it because I played. Cause you know, they've come home and say, hey, my friend said that you used to play football. Like they don't know. It was a couple of years before they were born. Right. So,
right.
But the youngest just naturally, he has, he's got instinct. I can see it in all the things, all the sports we play, but he's got that edge to him, that, you know, that aggressive mentality where even I've seen him just get ran over by a couple kids, you know, playing in the park, and he just gets up and goes right back at him. And, you know, that's what I was blessed with when I was a kid. And so I recognize that trait. My oldest, he's really big into, you know,